What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Girl Gains Podcast. I'm Amber P.
I'm Alexis Adams.
And you guys, we're going to roll on with another Q&A. We posted on our Instagram asking like some topics, but we got a lot of feedback saying that y'all like the Q&As and we like them too, because I think it just keeps it fun and gives a variety of topics. So before we get into it, Alexis, how many weeks out are you now?
3.5.
Yeah. So she's feeling it. She's feeling it.
Had my bitch fest on Amber this morning.
It's okay. It's okay. Listen, I'm proud of you because you've handled yourself very well this prep. Like I told you this morning, you've never looked like this before. Like, you're not far out, but I just know from watching your previous preps, you at 3 weeks out, you've never looked like this before. So embracing the suck, y'all. It's part of the process.
Yes.
All right. First question here, bikini shape and condition. I think this probably stemmed from me flapping my gums on Instagram the other day when I was just talking about how like a lot of you just really have to be realistic about what you got going on, where you are in your bodybuilding journey and what the criteria is. And so the thing is, someone who just genetically has a good structure, they just have a good structure, right? Shape, you can build on your shape. Like, you can add muscle. But I think what people fail to realize is, especially for a bikini, it's a balancing act. If you look at an athlete for bikini and if you see, oh my gosh, she's got great shoulders, well, it's not a shoulder competition. Oh, her glutes are amazing. Like, that's not good. And honestly, I feel like that's why Ashley K does so well, because when you look at Ashley K, nothing on her sticks out. Nothing. I personally feel she is balanced from head to toe. I mean, could she have a little bit more shoulder? Yeah, but because she's just so streamlined, like, her glutes aren't overpowering. Her upper body isn't over, like, nothing on her is overpowering. And I personally feel that's why she does so well. So keep that in mind. And then conditioning, like with bikini, something that I have noticed with conditioning is now, if you are too lean, they're not pulling you in. They're going to put you on the outside. But also, I think some people try to go for the, oh, I need to be full, but not understanding that if you still have body fat on you, that's not fullness. That's just body fat. You got to get down to the appropriate level of conditioning, of leanness. And then if you have the muscle, we can make it pop and fill out. But if there's no muscle, there's really nothing to fill. And if you have body fat, it's not full. It's just body fat.
Yes. Like, I think that's where genetics like truly come into play, as far as like climbing the ladder and like getting to the Olympia and like the top 10 at the Olympia. It's like, you can't change where your muscle inserts, and that's genetics. And you can't change how tall you are or how, sometimes even like dense your muscle is, because in bikini you want to be dense but not too dense, otherwise it looks too intense and then you're not balanced. So you're trying to create like an hourglass frame without anything sticking out, without a one body part overpowering the other, with the appropriate conditioning of being separated but not too separated.
It sounds crazy, because it is
the most weird division.
No, it sounds crazy because it is. It's like essentially they're looking for a unicorn.
But that's what bodybuilding is. Like, the winners of each division all the way at the top are unicorns.
100%. 100%. This is a good one. Prep timeline. When do y'all recommend booking apartments, hotels, ordering suits, getting NPC card, etc.? So
you need to have that conversation with your coach. Yeah. Don't book things too far out, especially as an amateur, especially if it's your first prep. Like, do not start with a coach like, I'm 20 weeks out from X show. That can be your goal, but don't set everything in stone, because then you're locked in and you're going to get on stage not ready. Or you're going to forfeit money if you're not ready.
I will say this, if it's not your first time and you're getting ready and you know you're going to be doing a national show, just be, and you are someone who prefers to stay at the host hotel, book that, because you don't have to put any money down. They're just going to hold your credit card. Reasoning being is because national shows, if you're staying at the host hotel, they always book up fast. And so I would rather you have it booked and cancel it than to not have it at all. And then now you got to scramble X, Y, and Z. So something like that, I would say, you know, go ahead and book ahead. But I know for my coach, like, she doesn't have anybody register for a show until 2 weeks out, because you just, you want to make sure that you're sure. Now, as far as something like ordering your suit, that's a different situation.
Yes. You don't want to, like, if you're waiting any closer than like 10 weeks, majority of companies charge a rushing fee. If they don't charge a rushing fee, they're probably crap suits, to be quite honest, because it takes time to make them. And that's silly. Now, if it's your first show, typically what suit companies will do is, like, you can order it as far out as you want. A lot of companies will have, like, Black Friday deals. And I got this message last year because Krista had Black Friday sales. And people were like, I'm not planning to compete until summer, but I want to take advantage of this deal. Like, you can order your suit whenever.
Yeah.
Because most companies ask you for your final measurements like 6 weeks out. So you order your suit, you put in your measurements now. Most of the forms ask, like, how much weight estimated do you think you'll lose, and like that kind of helps them with sizing. But then, like, at 6 weeks out, they'll reach out and say, like, what are your, like, measure your glutes, your waist, your bust, and then they'll finalize it and send it to you. You won't get your suit until like 2 or 3 weeks out. Don't harass the companies. You do not want it sooner than then. It will not fit you sooner than then. You need to be lean to put the suit on. It does not need to fit you in off season, so you don't need it.
Correct. And Krista, our suit sponsor, is amazing. Best suit I've ever put on my body. I don't know how she does it, but she just does it. So make sure you check out Krista, KH Customs, code Alexis A or Amber P to save you guys some monies. And then Alexis, you should be getting your suit soon.
Yes, I'm in New York now. We go back Monday. Today, we're recording this on Wednesday. Siri thinks I'm talking to her. So hopefully it's there when I get back.
Can't wait to see it. Let's see. Having the self-awareness, but understanding how to do that without envious comparison. So,
I mean, I think this is a skill that you learn.
Yeah.
But, like, look at the criteria and see if you fit the criteria. Don't look at, yes, like, the Olympia winners are examples of the criteria, but everyone's different still. So, like, everyone's physique is ultimately going to look different. And, like, the top two or three in every division at the Olympia are still all different physiques. Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe look at that and see how the criteria can suit each frame. And then look at yourself and, like, are your glutes to your quads equal? Or is your upper body equal to your lower? Like, all, like, assess that individually.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, we're humans, right? So I think the longer you do it, it's easier to truly assess your body without getting into maybe an envious or comparison mindset, because at the end of the day, it's bodybuilding. So you do have to compare your bodies. Like, when you get off stage, go look at the stage shots, look at the comparisons. I mean, you have to be real with yourself. I think the realest I've ever been with myself was after Junior Nats last year, because I didn't understand what was going on. I was like, this is the best I've ever looked. This is the most confident. What's happening? But then once I actually saw it, again, it's different seeing yourself by yourself next to other people. That's when you have to have that wherewithal to be like, okay, let me truly assess what's happening here, because you do have to, at some point, you have to compare your body so you can understand where you are. But you can do that in a healthy way and not let it drive you crazy.
Yes.
Do you think it's important to have a coach if you decide to take a year off?
Yes. You're wasting your time if it's not guided. And most people can't guide themselves that long in an off season without a significant amount of experience. So, like, you'll occasionally see pros that have been at the top level for a while doing that, but it's because they've got a lot of experience under their belt. As an amateur, don't go into an off season with no coach.
Yeah, no. Like, even when I had to take a step back at the beginning of the year, like, I mean, bodybuilding was not priority for me, but I still had to check in. My coach was still following along. She was like, okay, I understand, like, bodybuilding's not our priority. We have to get your, you know, hormones and mental health on point. However, I know this also isn't the end. So I still need to assess your body. I still need to watch you. So that way, if things do start to get out of control, I can say, hey, girl, keep in mind, like, if this is still said goal, then we got to have some parameters here. Tips for making show day run smooth, like things to plan in advance, what to pack, etc. Something that Alexis and I do, we make a packing list. We tend to kind of start like our packing list, I don't know, maybe like 3 or 2 weeks out, and we'll kind of send it to each other. It's like, hey, am I missing anything? Because I mean, y'all brain cells, we're working on fumes. And then something else that we do, and we're type A people, we're fine with it. Y'all know it, we admit it. But for the day of, like, we make a schedule in our shared notes, and then we just send it to whoever our people are. So that way everyone knows what's going on. Do not ask that person who is competing where we're going, what time is what, refer back to the notes. And so having, because that pisses me off.
If you ask me for the venue address, I'm going to be pissed off. Put it in there. What's your name? Yeah.
Yes. Like everything down to like, okay, when I'm going to check-ins. And the reason being is because when you have a planned schedule like that, I feel like it's less room for error. And like I said, you're running off of minimal fumes, and then things are already going to be changing, like with your coach, because you have to understand peaking is a very strategic process. So, you know, they might look at you and say, okay, well, you need to eat this, you need to eat that. So me personally, I just want to focus on, okay, what meal do I need to eat? When do you need to see me? Versus trying to figure out, oh, well, I need to go here at this time. Well, wait, I need to go to the grocery store. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah, no. So make a list, like, no, where your tan is, where your makeup is, what times they are. If you need to move something because it's clashing, move your tan time, not your makeup time.
Come on, somebody.
Like, no, if it's Amber, if it's Lebo, if it's
doesn't matter.
Who is? It's incredibly hard to move makeup time because everyone's booked. Everyone, every time slot is booked. So if you're trying to move from 6 to 8, they now have to move the 8 a.m. person. Mm-hmm. And then so tanning is always like flowing. Mm-hmm. That's not, it doesn't, because it's a different amount of time that it takes each person. Amber takes less time to be sprayed than I do. So that is fluid. And there's like 10 people tanning and there's like one or two makeup artists. So that's just my two cents. And then have a plan of how you're getting there. Yeah. If it's like a regional show, I do not recommend planning on an Uber. if you have to, you have to, and schedule it ahead of time and pay the extra fee so that you know that it's going to be at your place on time. But like, I usually have like a designated person that's going to be driving me from point A to point B. Because also, if it's in a city, you don't want to mess with parking. Like, if Amber's driving me, she can pull up to whatever hotel we're going to for makeup. I hop out, she either finds parking or goes and gets her coffee or something, runs an errand while I'm getting makeup, and then comes and picks me up. Yeah. And that's way more easy than like looking for parking, then you're scheduling time in for that too. Just make it as simple as possible. And then be backstage. If you're a regional show, be backstage when the show starts.
100%. Yeah, just...
Or don't miss your class. Like,
it's that simple. It's that simple. I must say, like, I feel like the way how we operate on show day, we just have a smooth process. And I love that for us. It keeps it seamless. And then just because this is something that I deal with every show, I'm going to piggyback on it and harp on it one more time. Move your tan. I think athletes really don't understand, like, for no matter who you're getting glam with, you guys, it takes us longer. There are less of us. And to move one person can really screw up the whole float. So always move your tan first. And then I get it. Nobody wants to wake up early, but guess what? Just like someone's got to catch the L, someone's got to wake up early. It's show day. Because my thing is, like, who truly on show day is really sleeping past 5:30? Like, let's keep it a buck. I'm not. I'm probably up all night long. So I know, like, my 4 a.m. girl is always like, oh, man. But at the end, she's always very grateful. But just, yeah. And, oh, and something else too, because I get this question a lot, the athlete meeting. A lot of people are always, do I have to go to the athlete meeting? I understand, like, if it's your first show, yes, I get it. I understand why you want to go. If you've been doing this for quite some time, it's not going to make or break you if you miss the athlete meeting. Like, if you have to choose between getting your tan, getting your glam versus going to the athlete meeting, just go tan, glam, and people can keep you abreast. Yes.
And let me point out, and if you're an NPC judge or something listening to this, I'm sorry, but all of the flyers say mandatory athletes meeting. They're not mandatory. They don't take roll call. They don't care if you're actually there. They might care, but they don't do anything about it. Yeah. If you can't move everything and you are going to be, you need to leave 15 minutes early or you're going to be there a little bit late, it's fine.
Yeah, because in the grand scheme of things, listen to what they are asking. It is show day. It is impossible because there's so many athletes, so many moving things. Like, it's just not possible.
Yeah, especially for the girls.
Yeah. Ooh, this is a good question. Enhanced athletes, things to be cautious of as a new competitor coming into using. The one thing that I am going to say on this is you need to make sure your coach knows what they're doing.
And you need to have a reliable source. Everything is not what it says it is.
Yes. Yeah. Because not having a reliable source, especially for us as females, that can really take you down a dark road later on. And you could potentially have some complications. Well, first and foremost, understand what you're doing. Understand that, hey, there are negatives that could come with this. And you need to be well aware with it because
yeah.
It's your body and you have to advocate for yourself. Have a good coach that knows what they're doing and then sourcing.
Know what the side effects are because there's sides with everything. And then know where your line is. Like, some people don't care if they have voice changes and that's fine for them.
Yeah.
There are other more significant physical changes. Know where your line's at. Know it's okay. And then don't ignore side effects that are happening. Like, if you're on something and you're noticing your voice getting raspy or you're noticing excessive hair growth or something, mm-hmm. bring it up to your coach. And if they're like, it's fine, but it's not fine with you, you could still drop it. Just tell them you're dropping it. And if they don't like it, get another coach.
That simple, because you have to advocate for yourself. Like, I know what I will and what I won't do. Things I'm not like, my hair falling out is not an option. Like, for me, that's just no, call me vain. It's just like my femininity matters to me. So understand that, because I feel like there are some athletes who, I get it. You're just so excited. You want to do what it takes, but you also need to ask yourself in the long run, is it worth it?
Yeah. And then also know, like, everyone's response to PEDs is different. So, like, just because your friend had this experience doesn't mean that you will. Mm-hmm. You might respond better. You might respond in a more negative way. and then the same thing, like, being aware of that, be aware that they're not magic pills. So, like, you still have to put in the work. And just because someone else had success with a compound doesn't mean that you will. And it doesn't mean that you're going to get the same response. And that is a genetic component too. So, like, whereas there are some natural athletes that can make it to the Olympia or get top five at a show, doesn't mean that every natural athlete is going to do it. That's a large component of genetics. So, like, what you are willing and what you aren't willing to do, just understand that that also comes with some kind of a glass ceiling. And genetics have a glass ceiling anyway. So, like, don't ever compromise and say, like, if I take more, I'm going to get further. Right. That is not the case.
More is worse, honestly. More PEDs is not it. And understand that once you get to the top level, not only are you working with someone who might be enhanced, but someone who is already genetically elite and then enhanced. You know what I mean? Like, people, I think, have the mindset of, oh, if I just take this, then I'm going to get to the next level. And like, no, if you don't have everything else in place, if you don't have the genetic elite structure, is it going to help you? Perhaps, but it might not be the magic that you're thinking that you're needing. Product recommendations, collagen, moisturizer, protein. Okay. That's an Amber question. as far as collagen, I'm a huge fan of the SpoiledChild. I think y'all have probably seen me on ads because people will send me as like, hey, they stole your content. They didn't steal my content. They paid me. It's cool. So I enjoy their liquid collagen. I prefer a more... I like liquid collagens more so than pills. I mean, anything in liquid form is always going to get straight to the gut, straight to you quicker. Moisturizers are loaded. It's just really going to depend on what your skin type is. Just clear across the board, anything from Cetaphil, regardless of what your skin type is, how old you are, that's going to be amazing. Please make sure that you guys have at least a basic simple skincare routine. I think a lot of athletes tend to neglect that because in the name of body, like just for yourself, but then also as an athlete, our skin quality matters and it matters big time. So making sure that you are hydrating your skin. I like Cetaphil. My current favorite right now is Glow Recipe. It's a little bit, you know, more on the pricier side, but y'all know I'm a glam girl. So I like that. And then as far as protein, I'm not a big supplement girly. I prefer to eat my protein. The protein powder that I do choose to use is True Supplements. And it's just simply because it's a plant-based protein. I can't digest the other ones. And the flavors actually taste good.
I like Farm Fed by Axe and Sledge. They have a million flavors and it digests well. It is whey isolate. But it's really good.
Good to know. I wish I could do whey. My life would be so much easier. Y'all, if I could have whey, if I could digest whey in eggs, my life as a bodybuilder would be so much easier. Because
yes, I love eggs.
I don't even like eggs, but I'm someone where I'm like, whatever, turn the mind off. Let me eat what I got to eat. But that would make my life so much easier. How to pick shows each season strategically to be the most efficient. Your coach should be helping you with that.
So if you're looking at a regional show, if you're looking at a national show, then you want your qualifier to be like a couple weeks before it. Mm-hmm. You don't want a significant amount of time between shows if you can help it, because then that's just prolonging your prep. But as far as like what part of the year, it's just based off of how much progress do you need and how much off season do you need. And ultimately, there's not, like, when it comes to national shows, there's not an easy show.
No, God, no.
And if you want an easy show, it's not time for national level shows for you.
I think one of the biggest things that I didn't take into consideration last season, and Alexis actually pointed it out to me when it came to strategically picking shows, like obviously I'm starting off going for my pro card. So I was going to run it as long as I had to. Thankfully for me, I didn't have to go as long, but keep in mind, like you have your first show in mind, but the longer you go, you're extending your prep. And as time goes on, it just becomes harder and harder to maintain. I know for me, first show, I'm good. Second show, all right. But by the time I start going to the third show, I'm fizzling out. So yes, we want to do as many shows as possible mentally, but you have to understand that that 20-week prep now has been extended to 24, 26. And it's just like the longer you're in it, it becomes very difficult. And it doesn't matter if you're an amateur or pro, like being lean that long is just hard, period.
Yeah. And if you're competing at the beginning of the year and then the end of the year, and you don't have a structured time in between, you're just running your health into the toilet.
Facts. Blah, 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 blah. Recovery tricks.
Sleep is your main one.
Sleep is, yeah.
Listen to me. You guys know that I didn't used to sleep.
My girl sleeps now.
I used, and I progressed a little bit, but when I started sleeping, I started making like leaps. So go to sleep.
Go to bed.
Epsom salt baths. Mm-hmm. Eat your foam food.
Rolling. Foam rolling, body work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sleep is the most underrated recovery tool. Like, just especially like watching you this prep, I feel like your quality of life has just elevated this prep. And a lot of it is like you're not running yourself down to the ground with wild hours. Like, and we get it. Like, you know, your job is your job. But man, sleep does a lot. Go to bed.
And just decreasing stress in general. Like, if you have too much on your plate, you can't do all of it.
So let's talk for a moment, because that's where I'm at, because prep starts in like a couple of days for me. And so this week I've been a little stressed out, because I'm just not stressed out, but just looking, and because I already understand you thought last prep you had to get deep, you're about to get real deep. So mentally preparing myself for that, but then also understanding that what's got to go, what's your main focuses, and understanding that you have to put some things on the back burner. That's okay. And just shut up, suck it up, and do what you got to do. I said that for me. That wasn't for y'all. That was for me. I think traveling difficulties in prep. When traveling in prep, if you're not organized just at home in your day-to-day life, traveling in prep is going to be very difficult for you. So I would make sure that you just have your everyday home life structure in place. And then when it comes to traveling in prep, all it is planning and thinking ahead. Know what your meals are. Like, I'll say this, because this is where I feel a lot of people go crazy. If you are someone who does macros, you guys, make your meal plan. Eat the same freaking thing every single day. Like, the people who just like track their macros throughout the day, I don't understand those people. I don't get it.
They're usually not successful with it. Usually you have the numbers left over at the end of the day. If you're eating on the fly and you're like grabbing a protein bar at the gas station, it's not going to work, y'all.
And I totally get, that's why people demonize macro tracking. If it fits your macros, I don't do it that way. I track in on Thursdays. My coach will adjust my macros. I make my meal plan. I literally eat the same thing until she changes my macros. Now, like, I might switch a protein source out, but I think that's where a lot of the macro tracking people get really screwed up on prep, is because they're trying, and when traveling, I'm like, oh, I'll just grab this and that. And then at the end of the night, you're playing macro Tetris and it's just a hot mess. So make your meals simple. It ain't Gordon Ramsay. Stay away from packaged things. I mean, like, if you're doing like a rice cake, or like, I'll do a lot of the times the, what is it? The minute rice. What in the world? The minute rice that you put. Yeah. What is that? The minute rice that you'll heat up, things like that are fine, but make your meals simple, plan it out, make your food in bulk. And then if it's a situation where you don't have time to weigh out all your food, just need to go ahead, put it in little baggies, whatever the case may be, and go on about your business.
Yes.
The more you do it, the easier it gets. And I think, yeah, that's it. Yeah, this episode's 30 minutes long. So we have Junior USA is coming up. Alexis is getting on stage here shortly, so be on the lookout for that. Are you still vlogging? Have you been vlogging on your trips?
Not that much.
Okay, no. I was trying to call you out. It's okay. I know you're tired. Vlogging when you're close to show, it's the last priority.
It's a lot of brain.
It's a lot. So Alexis will be jumping on stage soon. I have a pose, I don't do posing. That's Alexis. Alexis has posing available. I have a Stage Glam webinar coming up on June 2nd. So you guys can sign up for that. I'll make sure to leave that in the link in the bio. And I believe that's it. You got anything else? You have anything else coming up? Nope. All right, y'all. That's it. Thanks for listening.
Bye, guys.